Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast for 6, 7 and 8 figure Amazon and e-commerce sellers, a part of the amazing FBA family. If you want to scale fast, target a 7 figure exit and enjoy the process, then keep listening. Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-commerce Leader, co-hosted by myself, Michael Veazey, and Jason Miles, top 1% Shopify store owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you're the owner of a thriving e-commerce business, look for The E-commerce Leader on your favorite podcast app and subscribe today. Ladles and jelly spoons, boys and girls, welcome to the amazing FBA podcast. I'm your host, Michael Veazey, and we're here for you if you're based in the UK, America, Australia, Canada, lots of different places that people listen from. Today, we are talking to Diane Borsler, who's another incredibly impressive guest, in my mind anyway. She's the hypnotic Amazon copywriter. She's helped small family businesses make over $5 billion in revenue. That's $5 billion with a B, folks, over 12 years, and is Master NLP certified as well. So, Diane, warm welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So not only have you achieved all the stuff I've just said, which is kind of mind-blowing to me, but you're also a mother of four, is that right?
Yep, four with one on the way in November, so almost five, yep.
Wow, and a single mum to boot as well. So you're a really busy lady. Appreciate you taking the time. So NLP is a word and phrase that I want to unpack, but we're going to save that for the second episode, because first one, we're going to talk about products. The main thing I guess people come to you as a copywriter with is products that are already chosen. And in this episode, we're going to see that one coming and say, let's talk before we talk about how to sell stuff. Let's talk about your experience of how you should choose stuff to sell, shall we put it that way. So Tell me a little bit about how that has worked out for you with Amazon.
Okay. So a lot of times people come to me with what I like to call a me-too product or a minute product, right? So it's something that you'd see all over page one and like the top 18 for, you know, given keyword term. So a lot of times what I end up doing is saying, okay, we have to figure out how to position this with sales copy. But I've started learning that I can catch people before we get to the point of having to position it as something really exclusive. And then the sales copy gives it the added boost and actually a great product. So I think we were talking a little bit before the show started about how this works. And the main thing is anything you sell is always going to be based on human psychology, right? So with human psychology, you need to be, when you're looking for a product, it's not just about the keywords side of things. Okay, so that's what the bots, obviously, you look at the numbers, you see the keywords, and everybody's deciding based on a really simple statistical algorithm where it's like, okay, I have this number of keyword searches, this is what the bots say, and I have this number of products, there are this many products ranking, and so there must be a good profit margin in there. And so someone will say something like, okay, I'm going to sell a gummy bear supplement, like a vitamin C gummy bear supplement, right? Which is kind of oversaturated right now, but still, we'll use that as an example. So instead of selling, instead of just going, okay, well, I'm going to go source this vitamin C gummy bear supplement, people need to really pump the brakes and look at what the top sellers are, and not just like, okay, well, what are the top sellers saying that they have that I need that's going to sell? Look into your customers, right? So, or look into their customers. Look at the forums and pick out hot button words. Look at the Amazon reviews and pick out hot button words. Go and watch people's video testimonials on YouTube about a product. Go to join Facebook groups where that people will be taking that product where it actually solves a problem. This is the potential to make me a lot of money. We need to be, the more competitive it becomes, the more we need to focus on creating products that are less me too and actually have some more clout to go on. Because while we can position them as really great products using words that sell, obviously, you know, NLP infused conversational hypnosis, we really want to make sure that you're going to have a product that people can't just copy those words that we're using and it's going to sell really well. And it's what's best for your customers too. That's not only my personal belief, that's what makes you money. So really, you know, that's where you should start is how am I going to make money? This is kind of a long game, not a short game.
There's a couple of things I want to pick up on there. First of all, the long game, not a short game. Incredibly important. And I catch myself constantly at this, and my clients are often the same, which is just trying to make a buck quickly, which is not in itself a bad idea. It's a good idea from the cash flow perspective. However, if people smell or pick up on a sort of a visceral level somehow, the fact that you don't care about them, you just want to flog them something, that there's always going to be that resistance. And then I guess you're into a, I'll buy it anyway, but only because the price is low. And that's a very easy sort of game to fall into, isn't it, on Amazon?
That's a downward, I mean, that's a down. I see people doing that all the time. That's a downward spiral. If you look on Amazon, I mean, I write for any English-speaking country, I write sales copy for, right? And I work with anybody who, and even in countries where English isn't their primary language, like Germany and France, I work with those sellers as well. So the biggest thing about that downward spiral is we're always going to be competing against people who do things cheaper, right? There's always going to be someone who does it cheaper, especially with foreign countries coming in who can mass produce a product that's a Me Too product, and they're not advertising right next to you. So the question is, what are you going to be able to create, pull together, buy, or write words for that is going to allow you to position your product as premium, even if somebody tries to copy your sales copy? Like I said, going back to the beginning, are you actually creating a premium product that's going to shine well above and beyond the people coming in from the actual manufacturers coming in now from China and Thailand and Vietnam and Mexico and all over the world and selling for their base barrel price? How are you going to compete with that? And a lot of this does start at the beginning before you even hire somebody to write the words to sell your product or to tell you which images to use, before you even design your packaging. It all starts with the actual product. It's like they say, so a good analogy is in copywriting. They say, yes, words can sell things and we can sell more of them and we can increase conversions and we can increase sales, but it all starts with the offer. If you don't have a good offer, you're only going to go so far until people start saying, okay, well, but there are these five other products that are just as good and we've tested them, especially with influencers out there now who can do this, who can push out products, right? And so, you know, what is it that's actually going to help yours to stand above and beyond just the words that sell it, right? And that's, like I said, it's what's good for your customers and what's good for your bottom line.
Okay, so the obvious question then is, how do you find the characteristics of a genuinely premium product, or what are the characteristics of a genuinely premium product as opposed to a Me Too product that you're trying to make out like it's premium?
Or even something, okay, so two differentiations there, right? And I love talking about this, so thank you for breaking that up. One, the first differentiation is, one, not everybody is going to like the same product. So if you're looking at the top sellers, right, let's say we go and look at the top sellers on Amazon US for, you know, supplements, right? We're talking Sports Research Institute. We're talking the Genius supplements. We're talking, you know all the guys at the top, right? They all have a different positioning. So how do you know who to actually follow or who to mimic, and how do you know how to stand out above and beyond them, right? So it all begins with human psychology. So we'll, and I'm going to circle back around to that in just a second, but there was something really important that I wanted to say about that before I launch too much into that. The number one thing I want you to avoid doing while you're going through and doing this research that I'm about to talk about is you're not selling the product to yourself. Unless this is a product, unless you're a one-off product creator or a 2F product creator, because let's say you had IBS or IBD or some kind of infertility thing, PCOS, or there's some kind of, you're solving some kind of medical problem that you have, that you personally experienced. Unless you're doing that, you are not selling to you. This is, product is not about you, right? If you keep making the products about you and you're just this tiny little fraction of the population, you're gonna run out of people to sell to really quickly. So it's really important to say, okay, yes, I think this is right for me, but I'm going to put that aside or maybe use it as a part of my framework and not the entire thing, and go hunting down what it is people are actually looking for, what makes people buy. This is the part that most people don't like doing. It's the qualitative research side of things. And you really, really, really need to do this, not for the sake of filling out a questionnaire for your copywriter, but literally before you create your product. You need to go through the reviews from the top 10 sellers on Amazon for any type of product you're even considering. Look at what people are mentioning, right? People will mention studies. They'll mention the problems that they solved, right? And this is how we use this to reposition products all the time in sales copy. Like, people will think that their product is really good at selling for this one specific need, but we go through and read all these reviews and we're like, no, people aren't buying this because they want thicker hair. They're buying this because it's color safe, right? And then you can learn to focus on that. But this is, again, at the very beginning. So what is it that people really, really want? Are they looking for a product that's, and not everybody, but the people who are spending money, who are coming back, look specifically for those reviews where someone says, this is the third time I've bought this. Oh my God, I'm finally leaving a review. I never leave a review. I love this product because X, Y, Z. are the people who go on there and say, well, here are the pros and here are the cons, right? Look at the pros, look at the cons. Read those top 10, at least at minimum, the reviews for the top 10 products for anything you're looking at selling, right? Even considering, so like before you even negotiate, before you get a solid price, right? A solid price from your manufacturer or your laboratory, right? Before you even get a solid price, go through and see what changes am I going to need to make to the price, to the product they've provided me on the pricing sheet, right? Because they're going to tell you, okay, well, maybe it's $4.23 per unit. Right. And that's maybe that's before landing cost, maybe it's $6 after landing cost or whatever. You need to be able to go through and say, okay, well, yes, they're selling me this, but does this have all these different things that people are really in their mind wanting to buy? Am I going to be able to anchor this emotionally as the go-to product for this person? Right. This is what major companies do. They have entire 200-300 people departments. Johnson & Johnson, these huge companies have these huge departments where this is all that people do. They go through the qualitative research. So you should be, if you're going to try to compete with them, you should be doing the exact same thing, right? Same thing with forums. Like I said, join the Facebook group pages and start pulling together that data. You're looking specifically for things people are repeating. You're looking for hot button terms. Amazon gives you some hints now on some listings that have been running for a while. If you look at the top of the review section, you'll see like different sets of words that were mentioned, right? They're tracking that. They're telling you right there. Okay, so we know that this is being mentioned over and over again. We know that this is something people want, right? So you need to go through and pull out the human psychology side of things first. Only after that, only after you know what you can sell without compromise, like put together a bare list. This is the bare of what people want, right? This is what they want psychologically. Then put together a list, just like when you're dating. Like put together the list next of like, okay, well, these are the things I'd love this person to have as well. Do they have a boat? Do they, you know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. I'm just joking. I don't need anybody with a boat. But like it's kind of, then you're adding on these different characteristics, right? And then, so this is maybe where, you know, I could charge $42 per product. This is maybe where I'm right in the sweet spot of $27 or something. And you have to kind of weigh that. And then you take that back to your laboratories or manufacturers and you say, okay, this is what I really need. What's my price per unit? Then you determine your landing cost. Then you determine whether or not it's going to be a profitable product. If you just go follow, and I'm not knocking on every Amazon trainer out here because there's some really, really good, caring, compassionate trainers who are not going to lead you astray. But there's also a lot of programs that will tell you your whole goal is to buy one thing for a dollar and sell it for $5. And that's how business works. And on Amazon, that worked like 8 years ago because nobody else was really selling them there. But now I'm telling you that if you listen to these people and you just go buy something for a dollar and you don't actually think about the psychology behind selling it in advance, you're going to get creamed and you're going to lose a lot of money.
Absolutely. You probably sell it for $1.50 these days because the landed cost for your factory that's producing it, that's selling directly on Amazon is probably $1.20. So they probably will sell it at $1.20. So just to pull out a couple of things. So you've given us tons of value here, loads to take away and think through. And by the way, if you wanted to get the show notes, just go to amazingfba.com/blog and look out for Diane. We'll put Diane a special page up. So amazingfba.com/DianeB, DianeB for Bertie or B for Bosler. So a couple of things that think about. First of all, there's always somebody who could do it cheaper. Absolutely. The difference between what you write and the offer, which is what I think is really interesting, is the clarity, the distinctions you're bringing up between a whole listing, an offer, and a product, because people don't actually buy a product, right? There's the other thing is that they buy what they think the product will be and what it will do for them, which we could talk about in a sec. But I love this qualitative research emphasis. I'm also becoming a demon with my clients now. I basically don't let them go and order a product before we have actually made them go and talk to people. In real life, if possible, normally on Zoom these days, but certainly got to creep around the forums and just really understand who the heck is buying it and why. Because I think often we're a solution in search of a problem otherwise, right? You bought this plastic widget from China.
Yeah.
Okay, what are you going to use it for? Why would anyone want this?
I found a nail file. Yeah. That's one cool nail file. And I could make it, so I could help you sell 1,000 of them until somebody else comes behind it and sells it for way cheaper and use benefits.
Yeah, and I really like the fact that before you go to your manufacturers and stress about whether you're going to get profit, you think about the human needs that you've got And then can he anchor the product to it? And I guess in some things you can't really anchor a nail file to anything very emotional. So maybe you don't sell it, or maybe you can. But
you can.
I don't know. But the point is, and then you've always got, like, I love the fact that we've come up with, I've automatically written this down as job specification. You're writing it down as like your dating specifications. Yeah. So it shows the way our minds are working.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would say in NLP terms. But the point is that you got your basic specifications, and then you got the I must have, must be solvent, you know, great sense of humor, not like 4'8" or something. And then you got your, in your case, the ideal exactly. characteristics. Owns a boat, lives in California somewhere sunny,
right.
rather than where it rains in Seattle or whatever.
Right?
I love that.
Breakers.
But you're right.
I cover deal breakers.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. Everybody dating has
deal breaker,
right? I've only been at this for almost a dating thing.
Okay.
So deal breakers. Real quick, go through and look at what your people just won't buy. So some people won't buy things that are plastic based. Some people won't buy things that have any kind of fillers in them. Some people won't buy things that aren't biodegradable. So, I mean, and now it's almost becoming a standard across the industry, and a lot of American products that are not made in America products, but products Americans purchase or Australians purchase or people in the UK purchase, Germany, France, that they're looking for these products and they expect it to be environmentally friendly. Or there's a whole group of people who expect their products to be vegan, usually vegans. I mean, those are deal breakers. Look for what the things they won't buy. Look for the things they complain about. Look for the other companies they trash and figure out why they're trashing those other companies. Because the last thing you want to do is make this perfect product, but then have like this one or two additives, or it's got some kind of plastic packaging, and then you lose like the whole point of why people were trying to buy that specific product in the first place. So deal break.
And mentioning veganism, which is very much a trend that everyone's trying to jump on, that brings you back to the point that you made, which is really kind of basic for copywriting 101, but people still forget when they come to the space. As you said, they get obsessed with keywords, they translate keywords into physical products, and the person buying it gets left out. And of course, if you're a, like my wife thinks, for example, probably say it, she's next door in the kitchen, thinks veganism is a stupid thing and everyone should just get on with eating meat. I was vegetarian for 10 years in my youth, so I kind of get both sides. But the point is there, it's not all one thing is not going to fit all people. People who think climate change is ridiculous and doesn't exist, and I know there's more of that in America than this country, I'm not going to get into the politics, but just to say that person is not, you're not going to sell that person because your thing is environmentally sustainable, right? But equally, somebody who's into environmentally sustainable stuff isn't going to be impressive. It's kind of made of the worst type of plastic possible. So in other words, you have to decide who your customer is because it can't be for everyone. And it sounds so basic, but I see all the time, exactly as you said, they get from keyword to manufacturer. I'm like, what about the person buying here? Where did they come?
You're solving a problem. That's the number one thing. If you can only remember one thing when you're going through, you're solving a problem. That's what you're doing when you're showing a product or a service or anything, is you're solving someone's problem. You're providing them with transformation, even weed whacker string, okay? They're and people are like, weed whacker string, really? Yes. I had a talk with Kevin King about this one time, and it was in depth, and it was awesome. So weed whacker string, you go outside and you lit, like, I live in a golf course community on a lake. Okay. So that means that I can't have brown tipped grass. If my landscape guy comes out and he weed whacks the grass, do you guys call them weed whackers in the UK? I don't know what you guys call them.
I have no idea what that is. I'm sorry.
It's a thing that you stick over the grass around the edges and it like flattens it. It cuts down brush and things like that, like a brush cutter.
That's hilarious. It wouldn't even occur to me that one would need that. So obviously there's some stuff that is like, what's it called? A deal breaker for people in Seattle that in London, nobody cares. I mean, London, you don't get grass very easily in London. Maybe that's what it is. You know, most of us don't have much grass in the area I'm living in. So.
Oh, yeah, well, that might be it too. We have to have like grass in a certain, anyhow. So it has to be, I'm living off, like out in Bellingham off Lake Whatcom. So we have like this community and your grass has to be perfect. And if it's brown, then people frown upon it. You can actually get in trouble for having brown grass tipped. You have to use specific landscaping equipment or companies or whatever. So if this little string is going to cause like little chunks in your grass, it's going to cause it to brown. That's something that people like me have to actually be concerned about, which sounds so insipid given the world's current climate and condition. But we actually have to care about that. So that is actually transformational to not have to stress out about, is the guy who's cutting my grass going to be messing up my lawn and getting me in trouble with the homeowners association security. Anything can be transformational. People are searching. You want to really like dig at that problem and then you want to solve it for them. Just remember that you're solving a problem, even with nail files.
Excellent. This is a brilliant way to wrap up this episode, I think, because we're going to talk about lots of exciting stuff about how to sell the bit that everyone wants, which is the marketing bit. Like, I've got my widget. How do I sell it to lots of people? And I love the fact that we've taken the time to go, well, anything could be transformational, but you've got to actually understand the person and their problem. That's a really great message to leave out there. So great stuff. Thank you, Diane. Thanks so much for listening to the 10K Collective podcast, part of the family of amazing FBA podcasts. Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-Commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by yours truly and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you're the owner of a thriving online business and you want to become the best e-commerce leader you can be, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many topics, go to www.theecommerceleader.com.